Hey, this is David Poe, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
I'm Ralph.
And I'm Bill.
We're the tech guys.
Not the car guys.
But if you love car talk and use a computer.
Or the internet.
Or Zoom.
And you have glitches, grief, hassles.
Or maybe you just have a stupid question.
We're the wise guys with answers.
Sometimes stupid answers, but...
Monday nights, 7 p.m. WGXC.
Tech Talk, 518-697-7400. Tech Talk. Tune in.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Victorian-era Valentines of Schaefer, Minnesota. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC local news for Sunday, November 22nd. Go to the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org, for more information about any of these stories. The alarming local COVID-19 statistics keep piling up. Health officials in Columbia County announced 9 new cases there on November 21st. There were 112 new coronavirus cases reported November 21st in Albany County and 24 new cases of COVID-19 in Rensselaer County. Dutchess County reported 2 more deaths, and Ulster County reported 1 new death on November 21st. The city of Hudson has issued a stay-at-home order on November 19th after 15 residents contracted COVID-19 between October 30th and November 13th. That's about 20% of all cases in Hudson since the beginning of the pandemic. The city of Hudson, quote, strongly advises residents to stay inside their homes and avoid interaction with people outside their household, unquote, and to avoid traveling except for work, school, and essential needs, unquote. Traveling to school, though, may not be safe as 2 students and 2 teachers tested positive for COVID-19 in the Taconic Hills School District, and the Germantown Central School District is going all remote this week. Also, the Bank of Greene County branches in Hudson and Greenport have closed because of a positive COVID-19 case there. The Times Union reports there is a memorial for the over 250,000 Americans who have died from coronavirus, with cars planned to circle the state capitol starting 1:30 p.m. November 23rd. The Poor People's Campaign is organizing the events that are taking place across the country. In Albany, caravan participants will gather at 1:30 at 34 Hamilton Street before leaving on State and South Swan Streets to circle the Capitol. Sarah Trafton is reporting for Columbia Greene Media that the Catskill Village Board, November 18th, adopted amendments in an effort to align the existing zoning law with the comprehensive plan. The approved amendments address building conformity, billboards, and owning livestock in the village. One of the changes would return West Main Street to residential zoning, Village Trustee Joseph Kozlowski said. Zoning Board Chair Patrick McCullough said the topic of livestock was likely the biggest issue raised during the public hearings. Quote, people care deeply on that issue, so we are concentrating on addressing that for them, unquote, he said. The amendments include a requirement that a property owner have at least 2 acres of land to keep livestock, and all livestock fences and structures must conform to a 20-foot setback. The proposed amendments do not permit a landlord to place the personal property of tenants or former tenants on public streets or sidewalks. Personal property that has been placed in these areas for more than 24 hours would be subject to removal by the village. Vegetation or debris in a front yard cannot inhibit emergency access, and vegetation or structures cannot interfere with pedestrian traffic, and no building can be more than 1 story taller than an adjoining building. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting that Democrat Michelle Hinchey has won the 46th state Senate district race, defeating Republican candidate Richard Amador Jr. Quote, "We are facing some difficult times, but I've always believed that great challenges lead to even greater opportunities, and that's how, by working together, we will build a better tomorrow for all of us living in the Hudson Valley, Capital Region, and Mohawk Valley," end quote, she said. Hinchey is the daughter of the late U.S. Representative Maurice Hinchey. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins said Hinchey will, quote, "be a strong voice for our environment, our farmers, and our working families," unquote. Hinchey will succeed Republican George Amador of Rotterdam. Amador announced in November that he would not run for a fourth term. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com. The Daily Freeman is reporting that a tiny owl found in the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree as it was being set up this week is being cared for at a wildlife center in Ulster County and will soon be released back into the wild. A worker helping to set up the tree found the little bird of prey, now named Rockefeller, among the tree's massive branches, dehydrated and hungry but otherwise unharmed. Rockefeller is now being cared for at the Ravensbeard Wildlife Center on Route 212 in Saugerties. Ellen Kalish, director and founder of the center, said the bird is an adult male sawet, one of the tiniest owls. It was taken to a veterinarian this week and received a clean bill of health. Kalish said her tentative plan is to release the owl back into the wild from her Saugerties location. "But I just want to make sure he's well fed before he goes," unquote, she said. Quote, "He was a little on the thin side when he came in. He probably hadn't eaten in a number of days, so I just want to make sure that he's at his best weight and health, and then he goes," unquote. The Rockefeller Center tree, a 75-foot Norway spruce, was taken to Manhattan this week from Oneonta, where it was cut down 2 days earlier. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday there's a 30% chance of rain or snow, mainly after 4 p.m. With cloudy skies, a high near 36, and then temperatures rising overnight to 43 on Sunday, and rain continuing overnight. And into Monday, there's a 60% chance of showers before noon on Monday, with a high near 47 and a low around 27. Tuesday should be sunny with a high near 37 and a low around 24. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears. Tune in to Quintron's Weather Warlock, a custom-built weather-controlled analog synthesizer that turns the changes in the weather into sounds. New Orleans-based artist Quintron installed one of his series of custom-built weather-controlled analog synthesizers in the Wavefarm Study Center, with sensors outside detecting the differences and changes in the weather. Here, the precipitation, the sunlight, the wind, and the temperature turned into soundscapes anytime, 24 hours a day, at wavefarm.org/listen, or click on the listen button at any WGXC.org page. One of the many web streams available to listen anytime, Quintron's Weather Warlock, available through Wavefarm.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Murray of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Give me liberty, or give me death!
WGXC, the station that gives you liberty.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Nico. I am homeschooling this year, and I'm 10.
I'm Lena. I am going to school at MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books. Books we love. Books we...
Bookish
books thing. We what? I refuse to say books we hate, because that's a strong word.
Books we dislike. Bookish
books
thing.
We're not so fond of.
Okay.
I've probably hated a couple books, but I just choose not to talk about them.
Oh.
Life's too short, you know? We're here every week doing that, talking about books we love or books we're not quite as fond of.
New books things.
Yeah. We're usually joined by our friends Amelia and Mashuda and Fatia and AJ, but they're not here this week. So Nico, Lena, and Emily here to talk about books. Hooray. Nico, do you want to get us started off today?
Sure, I'll do that. The book that I want to talk about is the first book from a series of unfortunate events. AJ actually gave it to me.
Oh, nice.
It's called A Bad Beginning. It's about the Baudelaire twins and like their house caught on fire and their parents died and they're sent to live with someone called Count Olaf, who's like really mean, and he has like a plan to like have a play called The Marvelous Marriage, where Violet plays the girl that he marries, but he makes it an a legal marriage. Like there's an actual judge there playing the part of a judge. And the judge thinks that the document is only a prop, but it's actually one from the city hall. So they think she's legally married, but Violet signed the document with her left hand. So it wasn't legal. And then Count Olaf was arrested, but someone turned off the lights and he and some of his accomplices got away. And yeah, that's where the book ends. I'm going to read the description. Dear reader, I'm sorry to say that the book you are holding in your hands is extremely unpleasant. It tells an unhappy tale about three very unlucky children. Even though they are charming and clever, the Baudelaire siblings live lives filled with misery and woe. From the very first page of this book, when the children are at the beach and receive terrible news continuing on through the entire story, disaster lurks at their heels. One might say they are magnets for misfortune. In this short book alone, three youngsters encounter a greedy and repulsive villain, itchy clothing, a disastrous fire, a plot to steal their fortune, and a cold porridge for breakfast. This is my sad duty to write down these unpleasant tales, but there is nothing stopping you from putting down the book at once and reading something happy, if you prefer that sort of thing. With all due respect, Lemony Snicket. That's it. And why he wants to marry Violet is because once he's married to her, he has control of their entire fortune. Like, they lived in a mansion before it burned, and they have like a ginormous sum of money in the bank.
Yeah, he's so evil, and he always gets away. So annoying.
Yeah.
But I guess it's good for plot development, because, you know, you get to keep going with the series because he's always around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever read those, Lena?
No. The closest thing that I've read to being sad or something like that is just my book of Grimm's fairy tales. I love it very much.
Yeah. They have some similar bad luck in those stories, although often a happy ending. I really loved that series. I think I read all of them. I'm pretty sure I read all the way through.
Most of these books do not have any happy endings at all.
Yeah, I can't remember if it ultimately ends happily or not. I really don't know. I don't remember how the whole series ends.
I would guess it
has a happy ending.
It probably does, but maybe even not. Because it is a series of unfortunate events.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a show based on the book series. My friend watched it. I might be able to ask her if there is a happy ending.
Well, you could just read and find out.
Yeah.
I still have to finish that series. First, they made a movie adaptation that starred Jim Carrey as Count Olaf. And it was a movie that sort of combined the first three books and made them work together. And then they made the Netflix series, which I think there's two seasons, maybe. I don't remember if that finished the story or not, but I got stuck on, there was one episode that I wasn't liking as much, and then I stopped watching it.
I'm sorry, my internet was being weird. I fixed it now, though.
Welcome, Amelia.
Hello.
We were just talking about a series of unfortunate events. The Lemony Snicket series. Not actual series of unfortunate events. Although those happen too. Like 2020. Yeah, do you think you'll read more of them, Nico?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked the first book. So if there's a series and I like the first book, then you can count on me to read the next part of the series.
Yeah, nice. I hope you enjoy them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My favorite title of all of those, well, there's a couple, but I really like the Ersatz Elevator. And I will tell you, I learned the word ersatz from that book. So maybe you will too, if you don't know that word yet. How about Lena? What did you want to talk about today?
I don't think I shared this book on the radio, but Fruits Basket, it has an anime to go with it. And I don't know if this is based off of the anime or if the anime was based off of the book series. But I'll read the back. A family with an ancient curse and the girl who will change their lives forever. Toru Honda was an orphan with no place to go until the mysterious Soma family offered her a place to call home. Now her ordinary high school life is turned upside down as she's introduced to the Soma's world of magical curses and family secrets. Discover for yourself the secret of the Zodiac, and find out why Fruits Basket has won the hearts of readers of all around the world. And this is the old one, because I'm pretty sure they got like a new one.
Like a new edition?
Yeah.
An old edition.
So I'm talking about like they recreated the series because, along with them making a new one in 2019, like a new show, like kind of like a reboot, they also made a reboot version of the book series, manga series.
Is it the same stories and different art, or is it totally different? Or what?
Pretty sure it's the same. I only watched like 9 episodes with the old one and watched like the rest with the new one. Like, I'm pretty sure it's the same.
What do you like about it?
I like the pictures. Okay, so I like how they throw a plot twist at you. So, yeah, I like that.
I've seen Fruits Baskets before, but the Fruits Basket, whatever it's called, I've seen it on shelves. But I thought it was a slice of life thing, so I never picked it up. But now that I know that like, there's fantasy elements in it, I might have to reconsider.
I think our friend Ingrid that used to be on Bound by Books was really into that, because I feel like I remember hearing about it in the past. But if it wasn't one of you, then it was probably Ingrid. And is that an ongoing series of manga?
To be honest, I'm pretty sure it's ongoing with the new one, but I'm pretty sure it's not ongoing with the old one, because this was being like 2006, I think. My sister told me that she watched this when she was growing up, so like it was probably me in like the early 2000s. Or was it my mom?
Who knows?
Yeah,
sounds very interesting. The title's really funny to me. Just sounds funny. It's hard to say. It always seems like it's wrong, but it's not.
I laugh at the title because it's called Fruits Basket. It has nothing to do with fruits or baskets.
So someone could be really let down if they go in looking for that. They're like, do you know what I really want? A book about fruits or baskets or both. And then they're like, oh man, this one has none of it.
Yeah.
So Amelia, do you have a book you want to talk about?
I have some books I've been thinking about getting for Christmas. One of them might be my first experience really reading a book on a device, because it's not available in print. It's self-published. It'll be very interesting to get used to, but I really want to read it. It's called Transfigurations by an author called, I believe, Max Aaron. It's a pretty intense horror book, but these stories in particular are like exclusives. So I have no idea what they'll be about. He posts a lot of his stories online anyway, but these ones will be exclusive to the book, I believe. So no one will have read them unless they have read the book, which I think sounds interesting. I've listened to narrations of some of his stories in the past, and they're all pretty good, and they're all pretty terrifying. So, yeah.
I'm curious, since Amelia's going to be trying to read something in a digital format, I'm curious if Lena and Nico often read things in a digital format, or do you mostly read things in print?
Both. That's your answer. Because I have to read something for school still, and I read a bunch of digital stuff by will.
How about you, Nico?
I don't know, really. I don't really pay attention. I just read books, not any particular books.
Yeah, so you don't care what format it is?
Yeah. Well, there's a thing in a Guinness Book of World Records that I'm borrowing from my sister's friend. There's a record that someone translated Moby Dick into emojis. So it's now called Emoji Dick, the new version. I wanted to check that out or buy it and see what it's like. Book full of emojis.
Seems challenging to read.
Yeah.
Or is it just select emojis, or is it all emojis?
It's all emojis. It's no words, just all emojis.
Probably be a quicker read than the original. Well, I had two books that I wanted to sort of shout out today. And they're connected by the fact that they're both books that I loved that now either have been made into a movie or TV series or are being made into a movie. So they're one of those ones that if you like to read the book before you see the show or the movie, you might want to check out. And so one of them is the His Dark Materials series by Philip Pullman. And it's a trilogy, although there's connected books to the trilogy. And the first book is called The Golden Compass. And it was made into a movie a number of years ago that was kind of got not so great reviews. And so they didn't make any more movies. But there's a new HBO series that's had the first season, and now it's the second season has just started. And I read the book so long ago that I, even though I've watched the first season of the TV series, I don't know how much it changed from the book or how much it's staying true to the trilogy in terms of like the first season being the first book. But I'll read the description of the first book so you get an idea of what the series is like. So this is for The Golden Compass, book one of the His Dark Materials series. Lyra is rushing to the cold, far north where witch clans and armored bears rule. North where the gobblers take the children they steal, including her friend Roger. North where her fearsome uncle Azrael is trying to build a bridge to a parallel world. Can one small girl make a difference in such great and terrible endeavors? This is Lyra, a savage, a schemer, a liar, and as fierce and true a champion as Roger or Azrael could want. But what Lyra doesn't know is that to help one of them will be to betray the other. A masterwork of storytelling and suspense, Philip Pullman's award-winning The Golden Compass is the first in his Dark Materials series, which continues with The Subtle Knife and The Amber Spyglass. This series is very, very good. Very satisfying. It's great for readers who love fantasy, but it also has, it's sort of like in an alternate world where there's things that are familiar, but all of the characters have these demons that are like these sort of animal creatures that are like the physical embodiment of their soul. They're like connected to them and spend their lives with them. And when you're younger, your demon can change shape. So it might be one animal at one point, another at another time, but that at some point it sort of solidifies and becomes a set animal. But it's a very interesting series. I like the television series, or I guess it's a limited series. I don't know if it's actually, what are HBO shows called now? Are they still called TV shows? Hard to say. But I like that series so far. I actually even liked the movie, even though people really critiqued it a lot. I feel like with movie adaptations, I don't need them to be as good as the book. I'm pretty easygoing with them as long as they have interesting effects and the acting is decent. So I wasn't like heartbroken that they didn't continue the movies, but I found it entertaining. And then the next book I wanted to mention, which is another favorite of mine, is the first book in the Chaos Walking trilogy, which is called The Knife of Never Letting Go. And it's by Patrick Ness. And that, I believe, is going to be coming out soon. I don't know if it's coming out this year or next year, but it's been adapted to a movie that stars, Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley. And it's based on this book. And here's the description. A dystopian thriller follows a boy and girl on the run from a town where all thoughts can be heard, and the passage to manhood embodies a horrible secret. Todd Hewitt is the only boy in a town of men. Ever since the settlers were infected with the noise germ, Todd can hear everything the men think, and they hear everything he thinks. Todd is just a month away from becoming a man, but in the midst of the cacophony, he knows that the town is hiding something from him. Something so awful, Todd is forced to flee with only his dog, whose simple, loyal voice he hears too. With hostile men from the town in pursuit, the two stumble upon a strange and eerily silent creature, a girl. Who is she? Why wasn't she killed by the germ like all the females on New World? Propelled by Todd's gritty narration, readers are in for a white-knuckle journey in which a boy on the cusp of manhood must unlearn everything he knows in order to figure out who he truly is. And this book was so good. I loved it so much. And it kind of ended on a cliffhanger, or it did end on a cliffhanger. And the books are pretty big, and I just wasn't ready to dive into book two. And so I've never finished the trilogy. So sometime I have to read book two. Maybe after the movie comes out, I'll read book two and then go from there. But it's really, really good. Very exciting. What's interesting is because they can hear each other's thoughts, and that includes being able to hear his dog's thoughts. And as you might imagine from a dog, the thoughts are not especially deep. It's a lot of talking about like poop and stuff like that, or like squirrels. And, you know, it's just like what you might imagine goes through a dog's head. And so at the beginning of the book, I remember reading this and being like, oh my God, I can't with this dog. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this book with this dog talking. But then you like totally fall in love with this dog, like somehow. And you go on a fun journey with him and Todd and the girl whose name I'm forgetting, who they stumble across, who's the other main character of the story. But yeah, so I don't know for sure when that movie's coming out. I just saw that there's a trailer being released soon for the movie. And at first when I heard, it's called I think the book is called The Knife of Never Letting Go, but I think the movie might be called Chaos Walking, which is the name of the series. And it's interesting, when I heard about the casting for it, I was confused because I felt like the characters in the book read like, you know, they read like teenagers or young teens. And then they cast Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley, who are both adults. But I saw a little teaser for the trailer, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how movies can make like adult actors look like young people. So, and I like both of those actors, so I hope it's good. But yeah, so those are two favorites of mine from the YA world. Highly suggested. Yeah. Does anyone have anything else they want to talk about before we go?
I'm probably going to be rereading The Great Gatsby for school.
Oh, yeah?
Ironically, not for American literature, but for psychology. I have to psychoanalyze a character from media, and I chose Jay Gatsby, one of the main characters of The Great Gatsby. And so that should be fun. So I'm going to be rereading that, so you can expect me to get obsessed with that book again pretty soon.
Nice.
So, you know how you mentioned how when for the first book, it's called The Golden Compass, right? So, like, you mentioned how their little demon thing can turn into, like, a animal. And so that kind of makes me think of, like, how it's basically kind of saying you can become a different person when you grow up. Just become that person. And that's just what that made me think of when you said, like, the animal could change into anything, but it'll be done changing when you're, like, a grown-up adult person.
Yeah, I think it might even be specifically tied to like when you hit puberty, that like your demon sort of solidifies into a certain creature. But it's interesting watching the series. They did a really good job with the special effects for the creatures. So you'll see like the adult characters all have these, you know, animal sort of sidekick. Their demons are different animals that stay the same, but then there's others that shift around, and they may have like one form that they're more commonly in, but then when the character's under distress or has something in particular going on, it might shift to a different creature. Does anyone else have another book they wanted to talk about or anything else they wanted to share?
Yeah, I have another book.
Great.
It's the sixth book in the series. It's called The Test of Time. It's another Geronimo Stilton book. It's about him and his friend, Professor Von Volt, who like he's an inventor. And Geronimo Stilton like goes on an adventure as always. And before he starts, the professor sends the time machine to a bunch of different places to see if it actually works. And then when it comes back, there is five different people from history come back with the time machine, which includes a Triceratops from the Cretaceous period, Helen of Troy, Attila of the Huns, and then there's Charlemagne, I think. I don't know how you pronounce his name. And then Christopher Columbus, and Geronimo, and his cousin Trap, and his nephew Benjamin, and Benjamin's friend Bugsy Wugsy, and Geronimo's sister, and all the people who they picked up from the different places, go on a very long but fun adventure to take the different people from history back.
People and dinosaur.
Yeah.
That's funny that a dinosaur is mixed in.
Yeah. And by the way, it's a blue baby Triceratops named Tops.
Nice. That was probably my favorite dinosaur as a kid, just saying. Not specifically a baby blue one, but Triceratops was all right. Oh, you're showing us the book.
That's
so cute.
That's Helen of Troy. That's Attila.
Oh, they're also rats.
That's Charlemagne. And that's Christopher Columbus. Yeah. They're also rats.
Is the dinosaur a rat?
No. The dinosaur is a dinosaur.
Okay.
Oh, and when they go into the different times, they like dress into the normal style. And okay, they can speak the language. So when they go into the Cretaceous period, they're dressed like dinosaurs, and they speak dinosaur language.
What does a dinosaur dress like?
Well, it's just a costume.
Oh, okay, so they dress up as if they were dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. I want a dinosaur costume. Very nice.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I just finally watched the third Bill and Ted's movie. So Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure came out when I was a kid. So I definitely saw that when I was a kid and then watched a few times throughout my life. And then I hadn't ever watched the second movie where they die, spoiler alert, go to hell and have to get back. So I just finally watched that recently. And then just this past week, I watched the third one where they finally have to play the song that unites the world in music. And your book reminded me of that because they travel through time and kind of collect figures from different time periods. Although in the third one, in addition, the reality itself is like falling apart because they need to write the song that unites the world and like saves reality. And so there's just people from different periods of time that just keep hopping into the present day from out of nowhere, and everything's going bonkers. But then the daughters of Bill and Ted travel through time to find musicians to form the band to play with their dads to create the perfect song.
So like they're dead while they're doing it?
No. Oh, because of the second movie? Somehow they undie. I don't really remember.
So it's like a second life, like reincarnation?
I think that somehow they managed to not be dead because of time travel in the second one. So they're alive and well in the third one.
It's kind of like how people think a cat has 9 lives. They die once, they live again. They die a second time, they live again. Goes on until they die the 9th time, and then they're completely dead.
And then there's Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
Well, we're just about out of time for today. But we hope everyone has a good week and reads lots of great books and enjoys some time travel, perhaps. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Happy reading.
You have tuned into the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report from Lissa Harris of The River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of The Other Hudson Valley. Go to theotherhudsonvalley.com or therivernewsroom.com for more information and links to the stories included here. This report is a collaboration with several Hudson Valley journalists, airing on WGXC 90.7 FM at midnight, 5, 7, and 9 a.m., and online in the audio archives at WGXC.org. La Voz, a Spanish-language news magazine covering the Hudson Valley, is translating these roundups and co-publishing them on its website in Spanish at lavoz.bard.edu.
Governor Andrew Cuomo declared 8 new yellow zones in the Hudson Valley on November 19th, all of them in Orange and Westchester counties. The number of microcluster focus zones in New York has shot up over the past several weeks, along with case counts both in the focus zones and statewide. With yellow zones in Orange County's Curious Joel and in the Binghamton area in Broome County being deactivated, there are now 21 active microclusters declared in New York State. 5 currently have orange zones and a yellow buffer, and the rest are yellow-only precautionary zones. Is New York's microcluster strategy working? In briefings with reporters, Governor Cuomo insists it is and has been contrasting New York State's lower positivity rate and per capita case counts to other states that are facing much more devastating upswings in infection. But there are signs that the strategy is fraying as new focus zones are added faster than recovering ones are removed. Some public health officials think a return to statewide action is inevitable. Former New York City Deputy Health Commissioner Isaac Weizafus told the New York Times recently that, quote, the odds are against us at this stage in terms of keeping it under control, unquote. Another public health expert who thinks New York's microcluster strategy is doomed, Bill Hammond, health policy fellow at the Empire Center. A graph published November 20th on Hammond's blog shows New York's steep autumn rise in new cases flattened only slightly after New York's microcluster strategy was unveiled, before continuing on an even steeper rise. The granular data the state is using to create the focus zones is not publicly available, but Hammond notes that cases are surging statewide and that the county with the highest infection rate, Allegheny, does not have a focus zone at all. Many parts of upstate are now worse than they were in the spring, and the state hospitalization rate is worse than it has been since June. Quote, it's possible, of course, that all of these trends would be significantly worse in the absence of the microcluster strategy. So far, however, the curve has not significantly bent, unquote, Hammond writes. How are microcluster maps drawn? For such an important piece of the state strategy, it's a bit of a mystery. In October, the state published a 9-page guidance document on how focus zones are created. There's a lot of words and numbers in it, but the truth is there's a lot about the process of drawing borders that remains subjective and closed off from reporters, the general public, and scientists who might have thoughts on how best to draw maps. Health officials are not required to follow the lines of zip codes or municipal borders in drawing maps and can use epidemiological factors, zip codes, and other geopolitical or other common geographic subdivisions, such as county census tracts or contiguous neighborhoods, unquote, to draw focus zones, a description that leaves a lot of leeway for deciding what to include. Data that health officials are using to decide where infection is hottest, including demographic data and fine-grained location data on new cases and testing, is not available to the public. With cases expected to spike across the state after Thanksgiving, New York may soon see broad swaths of the state meet the metrics for entering a focus zone. On November 20th, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio warned that all of New York City was likely to enter Orange Zone territory shortly after Thanksgiving. An Orange Zone would close all indoor dining, along with gyms, barbershops, and saloons, and some other high-risk businesses. If you've been keeping up with the skyrocketing numbers of cases nationwide, well above 150,000 per day now, then you probably have a good idea about the safety of travel this holiday season. On November 19th, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued a new guidance for Thanksgiving, urging Americans to avoid travel. Quote, the safest way to celebrate Thanksgiving is to celebrate at home with the people you live with, unquote, the guidelines state. Governor Andrew Cuomo struck the same tone in his November 19th briefing, saying, quote, this year, if you love someone, it is smarter and better to stay away, unquote. Nevertheless, the governor expects a, quote, significant spike, unquote, after Thanksgiving. Nurses at the Albany Medical Center and Montefiore in New Rochelle are ready to strike over unsafe working conditions and stalled contract negotiations. Quote, COVID-19 is back with a vengeance and our staffing is at a critical mass. PPE, especially N95s, are being reused multiple times and now our staff members are becoming infected. These conditions put us and our patients at risk, unquote, Albany medical nurse Leonore Granich told the Times Union. Nationwide, healthcare workers at even the most well-prepared hospitals are facing a surge more terrifying than anything the spring and summer have brought, the Atlantic's Ed Yong wrote this week. Doctors and nurses have been working full tilt and many are exhausted. With the rates now surging across the country, there are no reserves of fresh workers from unaffected areas who can step in and help out. Quote, we're watching a system breaking in front of us and we're helpless to stop it, unquote, Nebraska critical care doctor Kelly Calcutt told the magazine. In places where hospitals are already struggling under an onslaught of new COVID-19 patients, Yong writes, quote, some of the people who get infected over Thanksgiving will struggle to enter packed hospitals by the middle of December and be in the ground by Christmas, unquote. Governor Cuomo will receive an International Emmy Award for his COVID-19 briefings. He will receive the Founders Award on Monday, in quote, in recognition of his leadership during the COVID-19 pandemic and his masterful use of television to inform and calm people around the world, unquote. According to the Emmy Academy, Cuomo did 111 consecutive daily briefings from early March until mid-June that were viewed by 59 million people. Past recipients of the award include Oprah Winfrey and Al Gore. Despite the fact that the governor has already written a book about his COVID-19 leadership and is now apparently on to the television awards phase, we would like to remind readers that COVID-19 in New York is not over and a new and acutely dangerous phase of the pandemic is just getting going. The New York State court system is reporting a, quote, dramatic upswing, unquote, in new COVID-19 infections among employees, the New York Law Journal reports. Some courthouses are scaling back operations. Pfizer has applied to the FDA for an emergency use authorization for its vaccine, starting the clock ticking on the process that will eventually make the vaccine available to Americans. With FDA reviews still pending, limited amounts of vaccine currently available, and the first dose is likely to be given to healthcare workers and those at the highest risk, it may be summer of 2021 before most Americans get vaccinated. Among the most prominent people in politics recently diagnosed with COVID-19, Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott, former New York U.S. Senator Al D'Amato, Rudy Giuliani's son Andrew Giuliani, and President Donald Trump's son Donald Trump Jr. The New York Times ran an essay this week by a tech writer who traced his tiny number of personal contacts and found that his COVID-19 bubble actually includes more than 100 people which is unsurprising and typical for people who work outside the house, have children who attend any sort of in-person school, or are in contact with people in these situations. Despite this, he's apparently decided to get together with family for Thanksgiving anyway, which is why we're linking to the Times story asking 635 epidemiologists what they're doing for the holiday instead. Now the region-by-region roundup. Starting in the lower Hudson Valley, Westchester County Executive George Latimer provided his second coronavirus update of the week on November 19th. The county currently has 3,975 active cases of COVID-19, up by nearly 1,500 in just 1 week. The test positivity rate over the past 2 days in Westchester was 4.91% on November 18th and 3.82% on November 19th, when the county recorded 392 new positives out of 10,253 tests, the highest number of daily tests since the pandemic began as people seek a diagnosis before traveling for Thanksgiving. With cases surging and new microcluster zones emerging in Westchester, the county is redoubling its efforts to reach local Spanish speakers in their native language with a new series of ads, robocalls, flyers, and PSAs. A press release issued by the county says that cases are spiking in Spanish-speaking communities. The new PSA can be viewed on YouTube along with longer Spanish-language informational video. The city of Peekskill will vote this coming Monday on whether or not to exceed the state tax cap to support the 2021 budget, LowHUD.com reports. Quote, the economic impact of the coronavirus has been compared to the Great Depression, unquote, City Manager Andy Stewart wrote in his budget message to the public. The budget within the state tax cap is limited to 0.67% increase. Peekskill's council has considered raising the tax rate by 2.79% for a 3.46% overall increase. That would cause property taxes to rise by $83.44 next year for an average single-family home. On November 20th, Putnam County released an update case dashboard for the first time in 2 weeks. The county has 160 active cases with 4 people hospitalized. On November 19th, Mid-Hudson regional officials, including Putnam County Deputy County Executive Tom Figuery, issued a statement imploring residents to not, quote, get casual about COVID, unquote, warning that small gatherings, even among friends and family members, quote, have led to a recent increase in local COVID-19 cases, raising the Mid-Hudson region's positivity rate, affecting the ability of schools and businesses to remain open, and further stressing the region's healthcare resources, unquote. Putnam Hospital plans to lay off 13 nurses and warns that more staff cuts could be coming due to pandemic-related financial struggles. According to the New York State Nurses Association, the union representing the hospital's nurses, the majority of the affected nurses work in telemetry and were, quote, critical in fighting the first COVID surge, unquote. The New York State Nurses Association calls the layoffs a, quote, disgrace. In the Mid-Hudson Valley, 3 new yellow zones were declared in Orange County on November 19th. The first is centered around Newburgh, the second is centered in the city of Middleton, and the third covers the northern part of Highland Falls. 5 out of 17 nursing homes in Orange County have residents who have tested positive for COVID-19. Orange County Executive Steve Newhouse said in his November 20th briefing. Newhouse also reminded residents that this weekend marks the beginning of the regular deer hunting season. Quote, if you hear gunshots, it's not part of the apocalypse of 2020. It is white-tailed deer hunting, unquote, he said. Quote, if you're not from here, you probably don't know what the hell is going on when you hear a gunshot, unquote. The city of Middleton voted November 19th to impose a mask mandate with fines of between $100 and $500 or up to 15 days in jail for violations. Mayor Joseph DeStefano said the law was intended to target repeat offenders who would be initially given warnings. Those over the age of 6 must wear masks when within 6 feet of others when in public, according to the law. Assemblyperson Eileen Gunther sat in on the unanimous city council vote to show support. The city of Hudson issued a stay-at-home order late November 19th as cases spiked within the community of 6,000. Between October 30th and November 13th, 15 residents had COVID-19, or about 20% of all cases since the beginning of the pandemic, according to the advisory. The city, quote, strongly advises residents to stay inside their homes and avoid interaction with people outside their household, unquote, and to avoid traveling except for work, school, or essential needs. Columbia County released its weekly town-by-town list of cases November 20th, revealing the first cases in 2 nursing homes, Ghent Rehabilitation and Nursing Facility and the Fireman's Home. The town with the most new cases was Greenport with 16. The Bank of Greene County branches in Hudson and Greenport have closed because of a positive COVID-19 case, the bank said in a statement November 20th. At least 8 school districts in the Mid-Hudson Valley are going remote early for Thanksgiving break because of confirmed COVID-19 cases, according to the Poughkeepsie Journal. 2 students and 2 teachers have tested positive for COVID-19 in the Taconic Hill School District, the district announced November 20th. The 19 students and staff are now under mandatory quarantine. The Germantown Central School District will go remote next Monday and Tuesday because of a couple of staff members are exhibiting symptoms and are undergoing testing. Columbia County's health director believes Turkey Day could push the county's positivity rate above 3.5%, which allows it to be designated a yellow zone. The county's seven-day rolling positivity rate reached 2.4% November 19th, but Health Director Jack Mabb predicted it would jump after the holiday. Quote, it's getting a little scary. We're not there yet, obviously, but we're rising. The most concerning thing is that all of this is community spread, unquote, he told the Register Star. The county saw its 45th resident die of COVID-19, the Department of Health announced November 19th. Eight of the residents have died since the cases began trending upwards in the county just over a month ago. Vassar Brothers Hospital and Mid-Hudson Region Hospital in Poughkeepsie both told the Poughkeepsie Journal they are in a better position than they were during the spring wave, in part because they have both stockpiled and now mandated 90-day supply of protective equipment. However, both said it was, quote, a moving target, unquote. Vassar Brothers President Peter Kelly said the hospital worked with multiple suppliers, and it wasn't uncommon to receive a partial order. Both hospitals admitted they have had COVID-19 exposures they've had to contain, with Vassar Brothers occurring recently. Ulster County is significantly limiting access to government buildings, and with the Department of Motor Vehicles moving to a by-appointment service only, according to a press release. The county's in-person workforce will be limited to essential staff plus 25% additional support staff through the end of the year. In the Catskills, Greene County officials are warning residents who dined at the Barnwood restaurant in Catskill they may have been exposed to COVID-19. Anyone who dined in the restaurant on Tuesday, November 17th from 12:30 to 2 p.m. should monitor for symptoms and isolate until they can be tested if symptoms are observed. No servers have tested positive yet, according to the county. Cases are rising rapidly once again in Greene County. Roughly a week after a recovery of COVID-19 positive inmates in the Greene Correctional Facility temporarily brought the county's numbers down, active cases currently stand at 46 as of Friday, up from 28 on Wednesday. On November 20th, Sullivan County officials issued an exposure alert for the Arnold House in Livingston Manor, a person who tested positive for COVID-19 on November 20th. Ate at a restaurant on November 15th between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., quote, during their infectious period, unquote, county health officials said in a press release. Quote, although we believe that the employees wore masks routinely, many customers may not have been doing the same while seated at tables and may have been exposed, unquote, said County Health Director Nancy McGraw. Quote, if someone thinks they have been exposed and develop symptoms, they should self-quarantine for 14 days and call their health care provider if symptoms develop, or call Sullivan County Public Health Services at 845-292-5910. This has been the coronavirus update from the River Newsroom. Go to theRiverNewsroom.com for more information about anything in this report. Here's Catskill's Brian DeWan with the song Dandelion Wine from his 2007 album Sleep On It. Thank you. Gilberto Gil is a well-known Brazilian singer, songwriter, and guitarist. He's also known for his political activism and served as Brazil's Minister of Culture from 2003 to 2008. Here is his 2020 song, Parabola Camera, from Gilberto Gil.
Antes o mundo era pequeno. Terra era grande, hoje o mundo é muito grande, porque terra é pequena, do tamanho da antena parabólica, camará, volta do mundo, camará. Quando dava, quando muito ali de fronte, e o horizonte acabava, hoje lá atrás dos montes, dentro de casa, camará, volta do mundo, camará. Camarada.